Shalom Aleichem Rabosai. Today's daf is Erev and daf Lamed Aleph. We are on the bottom of daf Lamed Amud Beis by the two dots. And we have a quote here from our Mishnah. Again, we're talking about the different items that are allowed to be used for an Erev. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, again, in different scenarios also, where you can put an Erev, let's say, for example, the Mishnah said, wine for a Nazir. And Rabbi Yehuda says over here that not only can you use, let's say, wine for a Nazir, you can also put a Kohen's Eruv in the Beis HaKvaros, right? A Kohen's not allowed to go into Beis HaKvaros, not allowed to become Tame. So he says you can even put the Eruv for the Kohen in the Beis HaKvaros. The problem is, how in the world is the Kohen going to go get it? Right? Technically, the food that we said in the mission, the food that we use doesn't have to be necessarily edible for the person making the Eruv. But you have to be able to access the food. You have to be able to be in a place where you can get it. I mean, again, we're talking about a makom shvisa. The person is, when he sets up an eruv, it's as if he's living in the place where the eruv is. Well, a kohen can't go into a base of kvaros. So how could you set up an eruv in a base of kvaros? Because Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Gemara asks. Tana, we learned that how can you set up an eruv in a cemetery, because the Kohen can get carried in there. Right, we know if a Kohen to walk into Beis HaKvaros is a problem, but let's say he shields himself by being carried in by either a Shida Tevel Migdal, which is examples of a box or a crate or whatever. This is some sort of, people carry him in, and what's the... It's not that he's getting pampered, it's just that the bottom of the box or the carriage or whatever it is will be chotzeitz between the tumah and the kohen, that it'll stop the tumah. Tumah, it makes an ohel over the mace, and now the bottom of the box, let's say, will stop the tumah from coming, so that's how the kohen gets in there. So the problem is, you have to move to get inside the Beis HaKvaros, and that's a machlokas. So, kasavar ohel zoruk shmei ohel, an ohel zoruk, an ohel that is moving, right? Does that count as an ohel? Right? We need to set up an ohel to stop the tumah from getting to the kohen. Well, if it's moving, it's a machlokas. So, v'plukta dehani tanai detanya hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim, Chazal, or gozer that chutz la'aretz had tumah midrabanan, because the goyim used to make kvaros everywhere. They used to have dead bodies, bury wherever you want, and weren't necessarily marked. So they were gozer that chutz la'aretz has dirabanan. So if anybody goes into chutz la'aretz, b'shida tevel migdal, but they're going in like a carriage or they're being carried in a box, whatever. Rabbi mitame, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda mitayer. It's machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, whether that person is tame. But my kamiflagi, what's the machlokas? Mar savar ohel zorek shmei alav shmei ohel, umar savar ohel zorek shmei ohel. It's a question of whether an ohel that is traveling, like a carriage or a box or whatever, does that count as an ohel? So that's the machlokas. And apparently Rabbi Yehuda over here is weighing in and saying that it is considered an ohel. V'aditanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when Rabbi Yehuda says that ma'arvin lakoin tahor betruma tahora bakever, and when Rabbi Yehuda says that you can make an eruv for a kohen who is tahor, right, with truma that is tahor, right, by a kever, heichi ozil, how does that work? So b'shita tevel migdal, right, he has to go in a box. So that apparently Rabbi Yehuda is saying that ohel zoruk, an ohel that is traveling, that is moving, is considered an ohel, and that bottom of the box will stop the tumma from reaching the kohen, because it is considered an ohel. So the Gemara says, one second, fine, you just solved the kohen problem, but what about the food problem? If the food becomes tameh, and especially in the case we just quoted, in the case where truma is tahor, right, you're going to make the food tameh. Right, first of all, it's also to make truma tameh. Second of all, right, if it becomes tameh, so how is the kohen going to eat it? So the Gemara says, Boshalo hukshara. The case is where it's a piece of produce that has not become hukshara kabel tameh. We said before, earlier, I don't think in the Masechta, but definitely in Masechta Shabbos, that food needs to become wet in order to become mekabel tumah, to be able to be mekabel tumah, and the wetness, the moisture has to come when a person is happy about it. So let's say an apple gets washed off, so they're one of seven liquids that will make something tameh, or that makes something able to become tameh, right? The water doesn't make the apple tameh, for example, but it makes it able to become tameh. So the case simply here is that the apple never got wet, and therefore it was not hukshar, is not able to become tamei. So Gemara says, oh, another case, shenil shabem peros. Or if you have bread that was kneaded, k'aniyedi, with fruit juices. Right? This is the concept of a mizonos roll. Right? If you make, let's say, a piece of bread with apple juice. So apple juice is, for example, not one of the seven liquids that will make something hukshar to be mekabel tumah. Now, obviously, this needs to be pure apple juice, right? Apple juice that's just, you know, from concentrate mixed with 99% water, right? So that's still water. But proper apple juice, right? So if the bread is made with apple juice, then it's not hukshar mekabel tumah, then it's not going to become tameh. The Gemara says, another problem. Veichi maisila, how is the kohen going to get the food? Right, okay, fine. You got into the basic karos, you have the food on a kever, right? It's not tame because it wasn't able to become tame, but how does the kohen get the food? Right, as soon as you reach over the box, so there's no longer the bottom of the box, right, to act as an ohel, to act as a something that will stop the tumah, how does the kohen get it? So he says you can use something called pshute kliyates. We mentioned in Masechta Shabbos that a pshute kliyates, if you have a wooden a kli that is flat, so it's not mekabel tumah. It needs to have a base kibul. It has to be able to accept something. It has to be like a spoon or a bowl or whatever. But if it's completely flat, so the pshut it creates is not going to be mekabel tumah, as the Gemara says, the lo mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, but one second, v'hakamahil. Right, let's say you take this flat piece of wood. So now, right, again, the kohen is holding the wood. Yeah, you put it over the kever to kind of get the muffin or whatever you put there. And, well, the wood is going to make an ohel over the kever, and the kohen is holding the wood. So that's going to make him tamei. Right? That, so the Gemara says, the maisula achore. Right? So you can, because he can use it with the achore, the back of it. And what Rashi explains over here is that we had, by pshutei kliyates, if something is not a tefach wide, it is not mekabel tumah. Or it's not an ohel? I forget. And mestama is not an ohel. Right. It says Rashi said over here that I was looking for that a little bit later on towards the end of the skinny lines. Rashi di b'maskel demaisi le'achoras, because yeah, if it's not a tefach wide, it is not going to be an ohel. That is not a proper ohel, and that's how that would work. Now that he would take a stick that's less than tefach wide, and that's how he would get his erev. So Gemara says, "Ihachi, if that's true, meaning all of these answers that you just gave me for Rabbi Yehuda Shita, so that makes a lot of sense. So now flip it the other way. My time with the Rabbanan, right? Because Safri, what does the Rabbanan hold? Right? If you tell me right, all these answers, it seems like Rabbi Yehuda's got a Shita figured out pretty good. So what does the Rabbanan hold? That it's Aser. So they hold because Safri Aser liknos bias bisurei hana, that a person is not allowed to literally buy a house." By something that is usur to become for benefit, meaning a kever is not, you're not allowed to derive benefit from a kever. It's usur b'hana. So what's going on over here? Again, we said the whole point of the eruv is to liknos dira, that to acquire some sort of dwelling to set up your residence. Shvisa is the word I'm really looking for. Right? So the person should set up his shvisa, he should set up his residence where he resides on Shabbos. Well, if you're doing that on a kever is lovely hanas nitnu, kever is asur b'hana, you're not allowed to do that. So that's the Rabbanan hold, that you're not allowed to set up a dwelling on something that is asur b'hana. So therefore, that's why it's also to put an erev on a grave. I'm a chalad Rabbi Yehuda Savra Mutter, right? Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's Mutter. So Gemara says, how did that work? Right? This is not a machokas principle. This is a concept that you're not allowed to set up a house on something that's asur b'hana. Right? You're not allowed to derive benefit. Again, you're deriving benefit from something that's asur b'hana. How are you going to put an eruv on a kever? It's asur b'hana. Right? The eruv is giving you benefit. So Gemara says, because Rabbi Yehuda holds, mitzvah's lovely hanos nitnu. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that mitzvahs were not given for hana, right? What is this guy doing? He's making an erev so he can go do a mitzvah, travel to, I don't know, hear a shir or do a mitzvah on Shabbos. So the kever is not giving him hana because mitzvahs are not hana, right? Mitzvah is not given us for our benefit. So Gemara says, one second. But you're telling me that the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is whether mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. Right? Elo hadam harava mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. Rava says that no. This is a klal that mitzvahs lav lehanos nitnu. Lemekatanai amar the shmeitze. You're telling me that that's a machlokes tanaim, and really Rava only holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but the chachamim must say that the making the eruv is a mitzvah, but it is lehanos, right? Because their whole problem is because you're getting benefit from the kever. So if you're telling me that the mitzvah that you're doing is not considered hana, it's not considered benefit, so fine. But if you're telling me the chachamim hold that the mitzvah you're doing by making an eruv is a hana, is a proper benefit, so that's why is Rava's concept of mitzvah slav lehanos nenu? You're telling me that really that's a machokas tanaim, right? That Rava says that all over the Gemara. So Amar Lecha Rava, Rava would say no. One second. I'm just checking and. Okay, it's fine. Amar Lecha Rava, Rava would say, Yisraelu de'ein ma'arvin el dvar mitzvah. I'm sorry, because if everybody held that you're allowed to make an eruv, the only reason you're allowed to make an eruv tchumim on Shabbos is to go do a mitzvah. So then the kuli amar la, no, that meaning. Sorry, let me take it back. The Rava says, no. The machokes is simply whether you can make an eruv for a non-dvar mitzvah. Meaning, we had assumed up until this point that the person is making an eruv, right? The eruv itself is not a mitzvah, it's a way for you to travel somewhere, right? Outside of the tchum, or it's a fix. It's setting up your residence so that you can travel within 2,000 amos of the eruv, but really it's allowing you to travel outside of where your tchum normally would be. So that's not a mitzvah. But we assumed up until now in this discussion that making an eruv, the purpose of your travels is to do a mitzvah, to go hear shir, to go do chesed, or whatever it is, to visit your rebbe, another, etc. So Rava says that no. The machlokes is whether you can make an eruv for something that's not a mitzvah. So Yisraelu the imar v'nele dvar mitzvah, right? The machlokas here is whether you can make an eruv for dvar mitzvah. The kuli alma mitzvahs lav lehanos nenu. But really, everybody holds that mitzvahs are not for hana, for benefit. V'al chachamim v'gein the machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim is mar sover ein ma'arvin al dvar mitzvah. Mar sover ma'arvin afilu dvar arshus. The machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can only do an eruv for dvar mitzvah. So therefore, you're not getting benefit from the kever, because mitzvah slav lehanos nenu, because the mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, that's not called hana. But the Chachamim said, no, you can make an eruv for whatever reason. You want to take a long stroll. That's not a mitzvah, or maybe it is. Okay, either way, if it's, well, whatever, you know what I'm saying. If you make an eruv that's not for a mitzvah, so that's okay, that's for your own personal benefit, so then you're using the kever for your own hana, and that's a problem. Wait just 1 second. Elohad Amar Rav Yosef, Ein Ma'arvin Ela Dvar Mitzvah. You're telling me that Ein Ma'arvin Ela Dvar Mitzvah is a machlokes? Rav Yosef says that Ein Ma'arvin Ela Dvar Mitzvah. Lema Ketanai. Why don't we mention that Rav Yosef is holding like Rav Yehuda and not the Chachamim? Amar the Shmaitse. Meaning, why didn't Rav Yosef say that he holds like Rav Yehuda in this machlokes? So Amar Lecha Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef would say, no, the Kuli Alma Ein Ma'arvin Ela Dvar Mitzvah. Right? We revise our machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim a third time. That Rav Yosef would say that everybody holds you can only make an eruv for the mitzvah purposes. Udkuli alma mitzvah lavli hanas nenu. And really, everybody holds that mitzvahs are not for hana; they're not for personal benefit. But hakamifli, what's the machlokas? Right, it's not either of those two issues. The machlokas is mar sovar kevin de kanele eruv lo nichale lemintera, umar sovar nichale lemintera di itzrich achile. Machlokas is simply whether you take benefit from the fact that your eruv is now quote-unquote guarded by the grave. Is the grave doing you a service by keeping this eruv here? No one's going to bother the eruv over there by the kever. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not getting any benefit. Once the eruv is there, right, you're done. You don't necessarily need to get it. According to the Chachamim, So the person is happy, right? Nichali lemintra. He's happy that the eruv would be watched over, so to speak, because the guy can go and eat it if he wants. So that's the Chacham is going to say. That's the benefit you're getting from the kever, and that's a problem because we are not allowed to get hana from a kever. Okay. New Mishnah. Marvin b'dmai u'maiser sheni shenitzel trumaso. Sorry, jumped the gun. B'dmai is produce from an amaretz. Amaratzim were we were concerned that they're not going to take Meiser, etc. Right? We're Amaratzim are going to take Truma. Truma is serious business. But we're concerned that the Amaratzim are not necessarily going to take Meiser. Now, many, if not most, Amaratzim do take Meiser, but Demai is Suffolk. Suffolk food, it's produce taken from an Amaratz, which is a Suffolk whether he took Meisrus or not. So we're allowed to use Demai for Neiruv, and Meiser Rishon Shanat L'Trumasa, right, the Gemara is going to ask, obviously, Meiser Rishon that took Trumas Meiser from it is totally mutter to eat for the Levi, and it can even give it to the Yisrael. It's not usher for Yisrael to eat. Truma is usher for Yisrael to eat, not Meiser. Meiser Sheni v'Hegdish Yeniftu, and Meiser Sheni and Hegdish that was redeemed, so obviously that's Gemara is going to ask Pshita, that's also mutter to eat. But Kohanim b'chala, Kohanim are also allowed to use chala, also the Gemara last pshita. Avaloba tevel, but you're not allowed to use tevel, which is grain that has not been taken all its gifts from. Avaloba meiser rishon shalonitzer chumaso, and also meiser rishon that you didn't yet give chumas meiser. Avaloba meiser sheni v'hekdesh shaloniftu, and so too any meiser sheni and hekdesh that was not redeemed. Again, the Gemara is going to talk about all these individual cases. Because mistama, it would be obvious, right? Whether you can eat it or not seems to be pretty clear. If there's an iser attached to it, so that mistama, you shouldn't be able to use it for an eruv. If there's no iser attached to it, so then why shouldn't you? So the Gemara says like this: demai, right? We're allowed to use demai. Halo chazilei. So the Gemara says 1 second, but the one that really does need a question is demai. Demai is not able to be eaten, as we said, is a chashash. That the Amaratzim did not take Meister from it. So Gemara says, "Migu di boy mafkir le lanachosei v'havi ani v'chazulei." Right, since because demai is not usher for everybody. There are a couple of exceptions. Chazal were makil in the case of an ani of a poor person, and they're also makil there in the case of an army of a soldier. But either way, since the person can be mafkir all of his possessions and turn himself into ani. Into an ani, and then be able to eat this demai. So, therefore, hashanami chazile. So too, at this moment, even though he's not a poor person, it's going to be able to use the demai, the produce, as a me'eruv. It's not like within the Mishnah, ma'achilin es aniyim demai, vesach sanya demai. Right? You can feed demai to aniyim and to soldiers. Amr Rav Huna, tana beis shamay omrim, e ma'achilin es aniyim demai, beisil omrim, ma'achilin es aniyim demai. Rav Huna taught that it's a machlokes misham beisilo, and that Mishnah goes like beisilo. Okay. Meiser Rishon Shanot L'Trumas, Trumas Meiser, right? If you took Trumas Meiser, again, the Levi gives Trumas Meiser, which is 2% of his Meiser to the Kohen. Kamas is Pshita. Well, obviously, that's Meiser Rishon, that's allowed to be eaten. So Kamas says, L'Tzricha Shehekdimu B'Shibolet. Now, the case here is where the Levi jumped the gun and took the Meiser while the grain was still in its stalks. Right? We know that the Mishnahs tell us that grain, and let's just see for that example, and other produce also, but grain is only chayiv in trumos, meiser, etc., etc., after the preparation process has been finished, right? It has to be reaped, it has to be, I guess, shucked is the word, right? Taken out of the chaff and the whatever it is, has to be, okay, there's a whole process over there, and the chazal understand that the process is finished when it's piled in a pile and smoothed out. That's what the Gemara is going to call here Bakri. Bakri is a pile. The grains are put in a pile and smoothed out. That's the end of the process. At that point, it becomes chayiv and trumos and maisros. If the Levi jumped the gun and took his maiser while it was still in the stalks, so that's what we're talking about over here. V'not Levi mena trumas maiser. And then he gave trumas maiser to the Kohen. V'lo nitrum mena truma gedola. But he didn't give truma gedola. Right? Truma gedola is the first. Again, is the first 2%, that goes to the Kohen. The Levi gets 10%, and of that 10%, he gives 2% from his share to the Kohen. So the Kohen, in effect, gets 2% twice. But check it out. When the Levi jumps the gun, yeah, let's say just to use round numbers, you have 100 pieces, you have 100 ears of corn, so or whatever it is, really, of chita, or barley, or whatever it is. So you have your 100 ears. So the Truma Gedola is 2. Is 2 out of the 100, it's 2%. The Levi then takes 10% of what's left. He gets, therefore, 9.8 of this 100 ears of grain. But if the Levi jumps the gun and takes Meiser from, while it's still in its stalks, while it wasn't Chayiv and Truma Gedol yet, so the Levi is taking 10. Yeah, so he's taking 0.2 more than he should, because again, he's taking from 100 instead of taking from 98. And as we'll see in a second, that Truma Gedola then does not get separated from that Miser. So let's just read further and then it'll become clear. So we see that what the Levi did was inappropriate, and you might have thought, okay, we'll see what you might have thought. So Gemara said, Lo Tricha Shekdimo Bishibolam. The case here is the Levi took the Miser from the stalks before it was Chayev and all these Matanos. V'niflam v'mena Trumas Miser. And then he took Trumas Miser. But he didn't take Truma Gedola from this Miser that he took. Ukud Rabbi Avo, like Rabbi Avo says, Amar Reish Lakish, and Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Reish Lakish, Miser, Rishon, Shekdimu, Bishibolim, Patrim, and Truma Gedola. The Levi doesn't even have to take Truma Gedola. Shenamar, Vamarim, Osem, Mimenu, Trumas Hashem, Maser, Menamaser. You should give Truma from the Miser, right? Meiser mina meiser, amartilcha, velo truma gedola, v'trumas meiser in the meiser. Right, you have to give trumas meiser from the meiser, but not trumas meiser and truma gedola. So if the Levi jumps the gun and takes before the Kohen, before it's even chayiv in this stuff, so then he does not have to give truma gedola. So that's what we thought. That is what we're telling me, that you're allowed to use that as an Erev, because you might have thought that, no, he did something inappropriate, etc. And therefore, you have to teach me that. I'm going to Rav Papa Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, Ihachi, Afilu Higdim, where am I here? Yeah, okay. Right, Afilu Ihachi, right, if that's true, if that's the case we're talking about, that's the case we have here, Afilu Higdim Bakri Nami. Right, so if you're telling me that that's the case, that you don't take two trumas from Meiser, well, let's say the Levi jumped the gun after the process was finished. The grain was piled in the kri, it was piled and smoothed out. It's chayev now, truma gedola, trumas Meiser, Meiser sheni, etc., etc. So let's say the Levi takes Meiser before the Kohen takes truma. And Amar Le, Alecha Amar Kura, Rabbi said back to Rav Papa, the Pasuk says, Mikol Mas Rosichem Tarimu Es Kol Trumas Hashem. The Pasuk says that actually, in that case, the Levi will have to give Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser from his portion. Right? We said before, if he jumps the gun and takes it while it's still in the field, so then he doesn't have to give Truma Gedola because of the Pasuk. But here, this Pasuk teaches me that he has to give Truma Gedola if he takes it after it was Chayv and Truma Gedola. The Gemara says, Umara Isa, and how do you know to explain the Pasuk like that? Hai Idagan, Vahai Ilo Idagan. Simply, that after it's piled up, then it's grain. Then it is grain that is chayev in truma and meiser and all this stuff. When you take it from the stalks in the field, this is not yet considered grain. It's not even tevel. There's no chayev to give gifts at all. So therefore, the Levi is not going to have to give truma gedola to the Kohen, even though what he did was inappropriate. Okay, fine. With meiser sheni vag the shenifter, you're allowed to use that stuff for an eruv. The Gemara says pshita, obviously. Where it says, Lo tzricha shenasan as a keren velo nasan as a chomesh. We know that when you redeem, let's say, maaser sheni, or produce, when you redeem your own maaser sheni, so you have to, again, sorry, maaser sheni, two options. You can either bring the fruit needed in your shalayim, or you can redeem it and take the money and go to your shalayim and buy food in your shalayim. So when you redeem it, you don't just pay the value, you pay what's called a chomesh. And in Gemara speak, that's not 20%, that's 25%. It's called a chomesh milara, I think. Meaning it's a fifth after you add on the extra percent. So just like if you have 100 and you add on 25, so now 25 is one-fifth of 125. So he has to pay the keren, the original value of the food, and the chomesh, and the one-fourth payment. Well, let's say he didn't pay the one-fourth payment, he just paid the value. Kamash malan, ain't a chomesh ma'akev. This mishnah is telling me that, no, it's not a big deal, meaning it is a big deal, but it's not going to stop the ability to serve as an Erev. Okay. It's not going to impact the redeeming process. Avaloba Tevel, but you're not allowed to use Tevel. As Gemara says, Pita, obviously Tevel, you're not allowed to eat. Lo tzricha, but Tevel, Tevel midrabanan. So the Gemara says, no, even Tevel midrabanan is going to be asur to use it in the Erev. What's a case of that? Kigon, shezaro be'otitz she'eno nakuf. Again, we had this in Masechta Shabbos, that if you have a potted plant that does not have a hole in the bottom, but it's on the ground, so midrabanan, that is tevel, until any produce that comes from that needs to give gifts to the Kohen, Levi, etc. And if you don't, that is tevel midrabanan. So we see that tevel midrabanan is also no good for an Erev. Vlobe Meiser Rishon Shalonot Trumas, so you're also not allowed to make an Erev for Meiser Rishon that did not give Trumas Meiser. Pshita, obviously not allowed to eat that. Latsucha, Elashek Dimu Bakriva, not the Menor Trumas Meiser. Vlobe Lash Menor Truma Gedola. Now the case is, again, what we mentioned before, that the Levi went to the pile that was Chayiv in all the gifts. He took his Meiser before the coin, and he took Trumas Meiser and gave it to the coin, but he still has not given Truma Gedola. You might have thought, you might have thought that just like Rav Papa said to Abaye, so maybe he should be potter from giving Truma Gedola to the coin, Kamash Malan, so therefore the Mishnah teaches us, Kedishoni, like Abaye said back to him, no, the Levi is still chayv to give Truma Gedola, and this food is still usher until he gives it. Vlobu Meiser Sheni v'Hegdek Shalom Niftu, you're not allowed to make an Erev out of Meiser Sheni and Hegdek that was not redeemed. Gemara says Pshita, obviously. Gemara says Lo Tzricha Ela Shepedan V'Lo Pedan Ka'al Chosam. Right, the case is here where you redeemed it, but you didn't redeem it properly. Right? There's two requirements, as you can see in a second, one by Meiser, one by Hegdek, how you're supposed to redeem the item. Right, you give money and you take the item, so the money is consecrated, goes to Hekdesh, is Kadosh, and the item is deconsecrated, it is Mechulal, it becomes regular Chulin. So what's the scenario by Meiser? Shepedo agav Asimon, that you redeemed it with an Asimon. Asimon is like a metal slug, meaning not an animal, but like a metal slug that back in the day they used to, if I wasn't old enough, I think when I got to Israel, they were starting to use the phone cards. But I think before that, right, they had these really old phone machines. We used to put in like a circle coin with a hole in the middle. I think, if I'm not mistaken. So that's an asimon. That's literally, I think that's even what they called it. I could be totally wrong, but I think I'm pretty sure that they used this little metal, there's no markings on it. Right? It's not really a good coin. Right, v'rachmana amar, but the pasuk says v'tzarta kesef kesef sheishalav tzura. Right, the pasuk says v'tzarta kesef, and the gemara learns that you need to redeem meiser sheni with good money, with money that has an image, right, stamped proper coinage. So if you use a lousy coin, so that's not appropriate, and the food and it's no good. And then you can't use that food for an erev because the food is not edible; it's not redeemed. Hekdesh shechulo agav karka. What about hekdesh? Hekdesh can be redeemed, but you need to use money. You cannot use land. You cannot trade land for hekdesh items and change the consecration. The Rachman Amar, because the pasuk says, "V'nasam hakesef v'kamlo." Right, you have to give money, and then the item kamlo, it goes to him. It rises out of its hekdesh status and is owned by the person. Okay, fine. We're going to stop here by the Mishnah. Again, I know it's still a little bit to get to the end, but I like to keep, as best I can, to single topics. Again, the Mishnah is going to go on to other topics of Erevin, but I think it's best to stop here. Again, we'll make it up tomorrow. Mitzvah Shem, have a great day or night, depending on where you are listening to this.